The New York Times has called Stephen Burt one of the most influential poetry critics of his generation. He'll be in our region tomorrow to read from and discuss his new book, The Poem Is You, 60 Contemporary American Poems and How to Read Them, at 8 p.m. in the Huxley Theater at the New York State Museum in downtown Albany. Earlier in the day, at 4:15, Burt will hold an informal seminar in the Standish Room in the Science Library on the UAlbany Uptown campus. Both are New York State Writers Institute events. Stephen Burt is widely acknowledged to be a literary tastemaker whose discoveries of unknown and underappreciated poets have frequently rescued them from obscurity. He's also a sought-after commentator on the enduring value of poetry in modern life. A professor of English at Harvard, Burt is an acclaimed poet as well as a critic, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Stephen Burt to the roundtable this morning. Stephen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I am curious by this idea of contemporary American poems and how to read them. So let's go with the contemporary first. When you talk about that, where do you feel that we are in contemporary poetry right now?
We're at a couple different places. There are more kinds of American poetry being written now and more kinds that give aesthetic pleasure, at least to me, and reward sustained attention than there ever have been. That's because there's more opportunities to become a writer, there's more kinds of literacy, and there are just more kinds of Americans. There's more diversity and more respect for diversity in publishing than there ever has been. And there are also more Americans. So we're at a couple different places. One, for good for literature and good ultimately for America, although also depressing in some ways, is the moment represented by Claudia Rankine's epic-making and sort of rightly admired book Citizen. That is a book that speaks to the Black Lives Matter movement. It's a book that speaks to the many different kinds of experiences of what Rankine calls anti-Black racism and the ways of being Black or being perceived as Black in America. And it's also a book that has a lot of different, bizarrely unlike parts. It's a book that has prose anecdotes, prose poems that tell stories, and the part of Citizen in The Poem Is You is a poem that is in prose and tells a story. It has sort of speculative abstract prose. It has lyric fragments. It has multimedia photographs and meditations on images that wouldn't seem like poems if you took them out of the context of the book. And Citizen represents the moment that we're in better than any single other recent book represents it, not just because it's focused on matters of public concern and on issues of race, of can we all get along, can we do something about our bloody and unfair heritage, but also because it's got so many incommensurate parts. It's got something for everyone. It's got something to baffle or frustrate everyone. It's got a lot of different ways in. It's got stories. It's got parts that resist telling stories. And that said, and I think Citizen is a good example also because it's not just me saying, hey, read this, I love it. About half the poems in The Poem Is You are poems where the poet is not widely known yet, and it's me saying, Steph Burt here saying, this is a terrific poet who really ought to be better known. People like Alan Peterson or Joseph Massey or Melissa Range or Rosa Alcala, who are just terrific and not famous. Citizen is not like that. Citizen is a book that's already gotten a lot of attention. It's not just me saying this is representative, this is important. It's an entire poetry community and a community of people who are not necessarily even reading a lot of poetry. Even that, even taking Citizen with its heterogeneous parts and its au courant message and its challenges and its stories and its multiple speaking characters and its sort of multimedia aspects, even a book like Citizen can't represent everything that's going on right now. One of the other things, the thing that my own poetic practice, for what that's worth, feels closer to what's going on right now, is something I've been calling the nearly Baroque. It is a set of poets who are reacting to the demand that writing be of instrumental use, reacting to, you could even say, to standardized testing and education, reacting to the demand that our society imposes on artists that everything have a purpose and a use and either make money or have obviously good politics or make us better people. A set of poets who are reacting to the rest of the life that we live in by saying, no, beauty is actually worthwhile for its own sake and life is complicated. And I want to make poems that are complicated and self-consciously beautiful and elaborate, and poems that really enjoy and let us revel in the sort of colors and textures of individual words and phrases, and that let us slow down and pay attention to all of the parts of civilization and many things in nature that we don't necessarily pay attention to if we're always asking, what do I have to do right now to make money, to be a good person, to discharge my obligations? And this is a set of poets that includes, I would say, Robin Schiff, Angie Estes. There are elements of Brenda Shaughnessy's work that are part of this in her new book, although there are also elements that are much more sort of demotic. And it is a way of writing that is compatible with a very political orientation, with a way of looking around and saying, you know, what's wrong with us? Why can't we do something about global climate change? Why can't we do something about crumbling school buildings and so on? It's a way of writing that's not at all necessarily reactionary, but it's a way of writing that says, let us try to slow down and enjoy the possibilities for beauty and for contemplation and for introspection and for carefulness that are there in the language that we use. And there are a couple of poems in the poem as you that I would call nearly Baroque in that way. And among the many strands and many cool things in contemporary poetry that are, or in recent poetry that are in that book, these fairly elaborate recent poets are the ones that I feel closest to. And I should add, if I can, I don't know that she's exactly part of the nearly Baroque. She's much more astringent and laconic than the term Baroque makes it sound. But somebody else who I think wrote one of the best books of this year or recent years, who is very alert to the complications and the difficulties of modern life, to how hard it can be to know who you are and what to do, is the poet Monica Youn, Y-O-U-N, who's a poet I felt very close to for a long time. There are a number of people of my own generation whose work I've known for quite a while, where I felt like it was a conflict of interest. It was sort of unfair to put people I knew well and had been reading for a while into this book, which ought to be multi-generational and ought not to be sort of a book of my friends. That's why Monica Youn's work is not in there. It just seemed like a conflict of interest to put her in there because we've been reading each other's work for some time. But I really encourage anybody who's listening to the radio and wants to know what's going on right now, what's going on in poetry that has been published even after the poem As You came out, in books that are this season's new books, to check out Monica Youn's Y-O-U-N new book, Blackacre. It's really one of the best of the year.
As I mentioned, you have a poem, and then there is also an essay in which you explore how to read the work, how to read that particular poem. What is it that you wanted us to take in mind when we read a particular poem, and why do you think that is helpful, especially in this context?
That is a wonderful question, and the shortest good answer is poems are different from one another. Different poems ask different things from you. That's why you, whoever you are not going to like all the poems that I like. I hope you like most of them. If you like all of them, you're probably me, and that would be disturbing. But different poems ask different things from you, and one of the reasons that I like the format that we've got for this book, which is with these 60 short essays and an introduction, is that I don't have to generalize about what all poetry does. I suppose all good poems help us become more alert to language, and they help us listen to the language that we have, but beyond that, different poems do different things from us. The Rosa Alcala poem that is in there is a poem that moves very, very slowly, and it's very serious, and if you sort of contemplate it, you will enjoy some fairly grim jokes about class inequality and about educational inequity, and you will be able to think about the ironies that structure the life choices we make and the economic opportunities that we have. And in thinking about those ironies with the slowed down language she uses, it might move you to get out and stand in a line somewhere to try to raise the minimum wage or work for your favorite local candidate. the Joseph Massey poem that is in there, which is also a poem that moves slowly in short lines, won't move you to do any of that because it's a poem that asks you to think about where you are in space and to be alert to the position of your body and your perception and your point of view and the way that the physical perspective that you have on the world can alter and shape your mood. And then again, there's a James Merrill poem in there that's one of the two longest poems in the book called Self-Portrait and Tyvek Windbreaker that is full of puns and full of jokes about consumer culture and is written in elaborately rhyming stanzas that are derived ultimately from W.H. Auden and William Butler Yeats. And that poem will at once allow you to think about global climate change in a way that is sort of sad but not resigned, and maybe even optimistic, and allow you to enjoy traditional form used beautifully in the way that you can enjoy, what are some good examples? Well, Mozart, actually. People say Merrill is Mozartian. What is a good rock music example? If you remember the Polyphonic Spree, one of those bands that play rock music with 18 instruments. Each of these poems, I think, has something special, and each of these poems has something different that it can contribute to your sense of beauty and your sense of meaning and your emotional life that the other poems and the other kinds of poems won't do. So poems are different from one another.
I do want to make mention that the title, The Poem Is You, comes from a John Ashbery poem.
Yes, it does.
Tell us
Paradoxes and Oxymorons.
Tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
So Paradoxes and Oxymorons is the first poem in the book. It's a poem by one of the most honored and most widely influential American poets who's still practicing, John Ashbery, who starts writing in the 50s. And it is a poem that is, for me, a good introduction to the weirdness of reading a lot of contemporary poetry, to the weirdness of reading poetry that doesn't make sense on first reading, even if it will on second or third, poetry that seems tricky or evasive or self-conscious, poetry that seems to be about itself, poetry that might not give you a way in, in the way that somebody like Langston Hughes or Robert Frost often gives you a way in, although Robert Frost is super tricky himself. On the other hand, Paradoxes and Oxymorons is also a poem that, if you come to it from the right angle, is very playful. It's fun. It invites you, once you've abandoned your expectation that everything will make prose sense in the way that a New York Times article or an Albany Times Union article, I suppose, will make prose sense, once you've bracketed that expectation, it invites you to have fun with it. It invites you to look at every poem, including this poem, from a lot of different angles, and as Ashbery says, sort of self-mockingly, set it softly down beside you. The beginning of that poem is, this poem is sad because it wants to be yours and cannot. And the last thing I want to say about that, to me, moving and funny poem, is that every poem wants to be yours. Every poem wants to speak to you. Every poem wants to be recognized. Every poem wants to have something, something funny or something touching or something bizarre or just something memorable to say to you. And one of the things I try to do as a critic is to give the poems that speak to me a chance to speak to you. To be, sometimes it means being a kind of simultaneous translator. Sometimes it means being a kind of tour guide or escort. Sometimes it means sort of providing safety equipment if the poem is easy to get lost in or give up on. Sometimes it means just being a kind of introducer. Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to be a good host and convene a cocktail party where different kinds of readers and different kinds of poems will get together and make friends. Alan Grossman, who is a good poet, he's in this book, and a really terrific thinker about what poetry does, said that poetry wants to be your hermeneutic friend. And hermeneutic is a big word. It really just means having to do with interpretation, having to do with the teasing out of hidden or magical or hard-to-find meanings. Poems can't be your friend in the way that actual physical human beings you can text or call can be your friend. But poems can be your friend in that they can give you access to a way of seeing the world that you're glad to get to know and help you through life. by being beautiful and puzzling, or by being beautiful and transparent, by speaking to the life that you have, or speaking to a life that's very different from yours that you're glad to get to know. So I do want to be, I don't want to say a matchmaker, but a party giver, in addition to an interpreter and a guide and a sort of mechanic, helping make connections between people and the poems that can be yours.
Stephen Bird will be in our region tomorrow to read from and discuss his new book, The Poem Is You, 60 Contemporary American Poems and How to Read Them. The event takes place at 8 o'clock in the Huxley Theater at the New York State Museum in downtown Albany. Earlier in the day at 4:15, he'll hold an informal seminar in the Standish Room in the Science Library on the UAlbany Uptown campus. Both are New York State Writers Institute events. Stephen Bird, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Visit the New York State Writers Institute online for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.